We welcome in our friend Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Chad. Oh, did we lose Chad? Let me try again. Hello, Chad.
Hello, Rich.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Technical
My voice
glitches.
Is completely shot today, so I thought maybe you couldn't hear it whatsoever, which would have been a problem.
Oh, were you yelling at St. Peter's and the NCAAs?
We were actually at the Celtics game last night watching Rob Williams' season end, probably, but A-Rod was there, so theoretically, if I was yelling at somebody, it probably would have been A-Rod.
Yeah, that's not looking good. Appears to be a possible meniscus tear, and just as the Celtics get to the top of the heap in the East, they lose a key component.
Yeah, he's so important to you know, their top-ranked offense and defense since they've turned this around, and he gets some easy buckets on offense, you know, just the threat of the lob, and beyond that, he's a really creative passer, which I don't think any of us knew coming out of college. And defensively, I mean, they use him like a free safety. They put him on the opposing power forward, especially if that guy's not much of a threat, and they let him chase blocks. And it's something that they figured out this year that really worked with him that they couldn't solve last season, where he struggled in pick and roll and things like that. So, real weapon on both ends of the court, and beyond that, a really fun player to watch. So hopefully this isn't something that changes any of that.
What a crazy stretch it's been for this team that I think at one point was 11th in the East, and here they are now in first in the East, 24-4 since the 23rd of January. What's been the difference in this team?
Well, you know, what's funny about that is everybody's picking their own turning point from when they straightened it out, because there were so many losses, it felt like rock bottom, that everybody has their own rock bottom. Like Gary Washburn mentioned the 11th place in his column today, my colleague at the Globe. And when I wrote about him last week, I wrote about when they were 18-21 after R.J. Barrett banked in that three at the buzzer when they blew a 25-point lead against the Knicks. And there's just a stretch where everything that went wrong, could have gone wrong, did. You know, Jaylen Brown missing a tying layup at the buzzer against the Spurs, and on and on and on. And all of a sudden, they got healthy. They made the Derek White trade, and he came in and fit in as a completely unselfish player, brought a little bit of that Spurs basketball that Ime wants them to play. And it just clicked, and it clicked in so many ways that you weren't sure you were ever going to see. You know, Jason Tatum involving his teammates and making them better. Marcus Smart really becoming a point guard. He's always been a good passer, but taking the reins of the team and really cutting down on his bad shots. And it was one thing after another. You know, Al Horford is 2017 version of himself right now. And it's why the Rob Williams thing hurts so much, because we weren't sure if this team was ever going to click the way we were hoping they were going to. And then all of a sudden it happened. And then, you know, an integral part of it goes down here. We have to see how they adjust now.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Red Sox just over a week away from the start of the regular season. Got that big bat they were looking for in Trevor Story, but it seems like everybody in the AL East has improved themselves. Have they got enough to contend?
You know, I think Toronto's getting overrated, because they've added, obviously, some pretty good players, and they have healthy George Springer to start the season here, most likely. But they lost Marcus Semien, who is third in the MVP voting, 44 home runs, and they lost AL Cy Young winner Robbie Ray. So they have a couple of huge holes to fill that people kind of overlooked because of, you know, the moves that they did make to bolster their roster. But the Yankees, pretty rich in talent. They're going to hit a ton of home runs again. They brought Rizzo back. They think Gleyber Torres is going to turn it around. They've got LeMahieu as a super utility guy now. So they should, if their pitching beyond Cole holds up, they should be right in the mix. And the Rays are always five wins better than you think they're going to be. But, you know, the Sox are the team now that is going to be chronically underestimated, because even with the Story signing and guys like Devers and Xander Bogaerts on the roster, doesn't feel like a star-studded team. But then you look up and Kike Hernandez is one of the most valuable players all around in the league last year. And you got a guy like, you know, he's gone now, but Renfroe hit 31 home runs. You have to trust that Heim Bloom's going to find players like that plug in and succeed here, because he did it so well last year.
Well, and is the lone voice that thought this team would have a pretty good season last year. I defer to you on all these matters.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I'd love to take credit for it, but I think I had him at 86 wins or something. And you know, some of the things that happened, I thought would happen, but others didn't. I thought Verdugo was really going to break out. He just kind of had Andrew Benintendi year. I think one of their hopes this year is that Verdugo's a little bit better this year, puts the ball in the air a little more, hits some more pop, and cuts down on the crazy base running and some of the stuff where he looked like he chugged, you know, 15 supercharged Mountain Dews before the game. If you're looking for somebody who was here last year who can take a step forward and really become a fringe all-star type of player, I think maybe he's the guy.
You wrote over the weekend about the broadcast crews, for the most part, getting back out on the road with the teams this year. Now, I know Dennis Eckersley is not a big fan of the travel. Is he more likely to be one of the guys who stays home?
Yeah, I talked to him about that, actually. I didn't quote him in the story, but I was just like, you know, my annual ritual is to check in and ask him, and, you know, it's always Jerry forever, how many games they were doing this year, because the number tended to fluctuate. And you know, Eck was always down for about 50 when Jerry was the main color analyst, but when Jerry started having his health issues, and then really the three of them got comfortable in the booth together and enjoyed doing it together, Eck picked up more games then, and he was down for about 120 last year. I think he'll be within that range again this year, but his stance on travel has always been, I'll do it, but I'm fine not doing it, because, you know, I've got demons that I held back, you know, for over 30 years now, but those things used to pop up when he was on the road as a ball player. So he tries to avoid the travel as much as he can.
Now, what about radio? Will Sean McDonough still do some games this year?
I don't know. I texted the program director down there at WEI a couple days ago and haven't heard back, which is not unusual for me with people there. But, yeah, I think they're still sort of figuring it out here. They get to, what, April 7th before they have everything in place. But the way they handled it last year was Sean essentially got to pick the games he wanted.
Right.
And I think he did 33, and he had a lot of the Yankees games, New York and Boston. You know, when they play Houston, they'd do those and kind of fit him in around his schedule for ESPN and in the summer. So, you know, he's got hockey now a little bit, so his schedule's a little bit different. But last time I talked to him, he's still planning on doing it. He really enjoys doing it and likes the feedback he gets from Red Sox fans.
And what I heard of Tony Maserati, I think he's going to be a good addition to the booth.
Oh, do you? Did he get a new voice? No. Yeah, I mean, what we're going to find out is that the sports radio show, if you haven't figured it out yet, is all a con.
Right.
It's all shtick. And, you know, Maz used to be on the big show with Glenn Ordway back in the late 90s, early 2000s, before the Sports Hub launched in 2009. And he was the voice of reason. When Ordway needed a voice of reason on the Red Sox, it was Maz, Sean McAdam. And they discovered that it was really lucrative to be the voice of unreason on 98.5. And so, you know, he magnifies all of his takes, but he's not going to do that on the Red Sox broadcast. I think he's a bit set in his ways. That's going to be annoying. I noticed the other day they had a big discussion about how important batting average is, and it really isn't compared to getting on base and slugging. It's tried and true proven fact that batting average is fairly far down that list of important hitter stats these nowadays. So we'll see if he wakes up a little bit in that regard. But I think the Maz you get on the air is on the Red Sox games is going to be much closer to the actual guy than what you hear on sports radio.
What a wonderful piece you had up over the weekend about your daughter and the end of her high school basketball career. And I think it's something that every parent can identify with. It's over also soon, and everywhere you go, you see reminders of it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I actually wrote that a day or two after my daughter's team got knocked out in the B-South girls semifinals down here. So it was a few weeks ago. My editor didn't run it until I badgered him into it finally this week. And I kept saying, you know, it's not really about anything, you know, about Maine basketball. You know, Globe's a little reluctant to write about Maine when we're covering Boston. But it's more about something I think that's going to connect with a lot of our readers. And I think that's really valuable just every once in a while. Shaughnessy does it too. I mean, he wrote a whole book about his son's high school senior year in baseball. It's really valuable just to kind of remind people that you're going through some of the same things that they are, and you know, maybe it tones down the comment sections and crude emails for a little while. But yeah, it was all true. I mean, it's just every time I drive by the school, I'm like, yep, no reason to go back in there anymore. It really stinks, but you know, your main high school tournament can end pretty abruptly, as everyone knows.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful piece. Now, by the way, you're down to the final four in the Boston bracket of Downtown Madness, and it's you and Lee Montville head-to-head. Lee was tweeting when this thing started that he was had to be the 16 seed and didn't have a chance, and now he's down to the final four with you, Bob Ryan, and Michael Hurley from WBZ.
Well, I should get my own bracket of Maine and Massachusetts person. I guess me and Tangway, but I can dispose of that guy anytime. but yeah, I mean, all the columnists in Boston, Shaughnessy, Ryan, any of the guys from the Herald, but I've heard this from Dan and Bob specifically, Lee Montville's the best columnist that's ever been in Boston. And people have tried to imitate his voice. You can tell they're imitating his voice because his style is so distinctive that only he can really pull it off. So I'd love to win. I love being part of the bracket every year, but if I'm going to lose to Lee or Bob Ryan or somebody like that, no shame in that.
Well, we wish you well. Even though you're not at full strength, I think even without the voice, you're a guy who can get this win and move into the, the, what are we calling it, Carol? The Eclectic Eight is the next round, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's just from screaming at my kids, that whole... whole thing about my daughter's basketball career was phony. I just yell at them all the time. Now my voice is gone.
Still breaking down the tape of their last game and saying, this is what went wrong. This is why you lost. God, that's...
She won't watch it yet, no.
I don't blame her.
I've been tempted to. It's in the HOU archives, but maybe in another year.
Right, right. Got to let it heal first. Well, I hope you're back at full speed soon, Chad. Thanks, as always, for being with us, and we'll check in with you again very soon.
Thanks, Rich. Take care.
Thank you, Chad. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe.